Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. We're talking to Dr. Steve Wellum about his Systematic Theology, Volume 1. We've been working our way through it. Steve and I have just been talking about the election. We were recording this a couple of days after the election, and now we're finally going to get around to it, an interview here to continue working through his book. In part one of your book, you laid out the warrant for a systematic theology and how that looks in our day. Then you move from there to focus particularly on the doctrine of scripture, that our focus in theology is what God himself has revealed, what he has said. That brings us to scripture as God's word written. And then we move naturally to how do we understand and how do we interpret that word. And so you have this section of the book, and we've looked at the Bible as a story from creation to new creation. And now in chapter 14, you're working your way through what you are either famous or notorious for, and that is the idea of kingdom through covenant. We've worked through our way through part of that, and we'll pick that up now. We are coming now to the section where you deal with the old covenant, or the covenant made at Sinai. So first, describe the provisions of the old covenant just briefly and in overview, and get everyone on the same track here with that. What is the old covenant?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the old covenant language comes in light of the new covenant. So it's not until you have later the prophets speaking about the new that we have the language of old. So it's what we often identify as the Mosaic covenant, because Moses is such a crucial mediator of that covenant. But it's really a covenant with Israel as a nation and so on. So what I try to do with the Mosaic covenant first is not to isolate it. And to say, okay, well, we can just look at, where do we find the old covenant, Mosaic covenant? Well, in Exodus, obviously Exodus, and then from there on, it's reaffirmed in Deuteronomy with the second generation as they go into the promised land, and then it continues all the way to the coming of Christ, who then brings to fulfillment that old covenant. But it's important to not isolate it. It has to be seen in light of its previous covenants, so that we could take it all the way back to Adam, creation, take it back to then Noah, Abraham, but particularly the Abrahamic covenant. It's quite impossible to understand the Mosaic or Israel's covenant apart from the promises to Abraham. And Paul makes that very clear, that the Abrahamic covenant precedes the Mosaic covenant, the Torah, the law. It is now being built on it. It comes 430 years later, and the promise to Abraham that he will have an offspring that will bring blessing to the world, that from him will come a mighty nation. I mean, the language in the Hebrew speaks of a political entity, goy, a nation, kingdom, not just a people, but that entity that will come from him, which now, of course, ultimately culminates in the seed, which is Christ, but it comes through this nation of Israel. That seed theme runs through this nation that is established, so that's why in Exodus 19:6, Israel is called that kingdom of priests, that holy nation, the same language that's applied to the promises to Abraham. I'm going to make you a mighty nation. From you will come this mighty nation. So Israel will be the means by which, in the plan of God, God brings his redemptive purposes to pass. And of course, that's the important role of Israel. They're chosen by God. They are his elect people. Deuteronomy 7:7. They were chosen by grace, sovereign grace. They weren't chosen because they were more moral or bigger or more beautiful than the other nations. No, by God's grace, as he chooses us by his unconditional election. He chooses them. He sets his love on them. But it's also tied to his setting his love upon Abraham. And through him, right, the blessing will come, the seed will come, and that's now mediated through the nation of Israel. And then that's the point of Israel. God enters into covenant relationship. He's keeping his promises to Abraham. They are then in slavery in Egypt. He takes them out of that slavery and takes them into the wilderness. And at Sinai, sometimes known as the Sinai covenant, right? God enters into covenant relationship. I am your God. You are my people. That Israel as a corporate people become this holy nation, this kingdom of priests, and all that language goes back to not only to Abraham, but also even priestly language. You can tie back to Adam, I think, in the garden. So Israel, I do think in scripture, becomes a kind of corporate Adam, right? They are given the law. They are given God's demands. And we'll see, you know, just in a moment, there's more than all of that that's given. But they function, right, under the demand of God. They show the human heart and its depravity, but they also, through them, the Savior comes. And through a lot of other aspects of this Mosaic covenant, it points forward to then the coming of the Lord Jesus, right? So this is, you know, how we, I think, should understand this Mosaic old covenant, its place in redemptive history, how it's functioning to build off of the Abrahamic and ultimately back to Adam, to lead us to the new covenant. And then we have to then look at the various aspects of this old covenant. It's not just commands. It's more than that. It involves a sacrificial system. It involves the establishment of the Levitical priesthood. It involves all kinds of typological structures that in the plan of God, God is revealing. He is prophetically anticipating more to come, that Israel is, and the old covenant is presented in scripture as a means to a larger end. It's not an end in itself. It's viewed as later as temporary, right? It's not something that is final, permanent. It's part of God's plan. It's the unfolding of these covenants, the progression of these covenants that ultimately anticipates the coming of Christ and the new covenant. So we'll just leave it there in terms of sort of setting that old covenant in terms of its biblical context, its storyline context, its redemptive historical context. Then we have to drill down into different aspects of this covenant and then different understandings that people have of it.